You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, as an election year comes into its final stretch, the conversation around immigration policy rears its head once again. One consideration which tends to be forgotten in the debate is the fairness of immigration legislation. 95BFM reporter Adam Jacobson spoke with David Hall, the editor of Fair Borders, Migration Policy in the 21st Century, a book which aims to examine various angles on the theme of fair immigration.
So the book is about borders and the nature of borders today, especially in this time when, you know, nationalism is rising and people have growing concerns about migration and its effects in different parts of the world. And the idea was really to take a bit of an ethical perspective on borders and not to think of them in terms of economics and, you know, what the impact is on GDP, but to think about the effects they have on people, and especially to think through the lens of fairness, because, you know, fairness is a value that New Zealanders often hold themselves to. So I wanted to explore this thought of whether our borders really live up to our own standards of fairness, or whether we're, you know, failing to give a fair go to people who want to enter New Zealand.
Why was it important to put it under the umbrella of fairness? What motivated you to choose this topic?
Well, I think that just gets us thinking about the right things, because borders can have effects on people on either side of a border. You know, they obviously have an effect on people who want to enter a country, because, you know, borders can create all sorts of restrictions and they can select people and they can impede their movement. But borders also have an effect on people inside of a country, because if borders aren't well regulated, there can be impacts for the communities that migrants are entering. So, yeah, fairness gets us thinking about how we can set up our borders in a way that we can all kind of agree that they do provide a fair go, you know, that they're not overly cruel to people on the outside of the borders, but also not overly cruel to people on the inside of borders.
Throughout your investigation into border fairness, what was kind of the conclusion that you drew from modern immigration policy? Are the current standings that we have, are they fair?
I think that the one problem with this is that our borders and our migration policy is just made up by a whole range of different visas and visa streams. So the question about fairness always comes back to which visa stream, which mode of entry that you're talking about. So, for instance, Murdoch Stevens writes a chapter in the book about the refugee quota, and, you know, he makes the case that that isn't fair at all, because New Zealand is not pulling its weight in regard to offering resettlement opportunities for refugees around the world. Our quota is notoriously low by international standards. So that, for instance, is not a fair border. You know, another one that's in the news is the PTE scheme, the for private training establishments, and, you know, a lot of people are coming in and to some extent they're being misled about the opportunities in New Zealand. They're sometimes vulnerable to exploitation. So that's not fair either. It's neither fair for the people entering, and it's neither fair for New Zealanders. So it really always just comes back to which visa you're talking about.
I mean, on the opposite spectrum, are there any examples of fair policies which New Zealand currently has?
I think generally, you know, there was a UMR survey recently, and we put that question to respondents, and you know, actually quite a lot of people thought that the general overall things were fair. Like, I don't think New Zealand's border policy is utterly atrocious by any means. It has its problems, but I think a lot of the basic stuff around, you know, entrance for residents, you know, people understand that there's some criteria involved, and I think people on the outside as well understand that, like, you know, that's the way that the world is, and so there is an element of fairness there, that people understand that you know, that migrants have you know, contribute to a nation, and that there's certain rules that they have to abide by, whether it's in regards to security and those sorts of things. I mean, I don't think anybody denies the fact that a community has some responsibility to to regulate in regards to keeping its own community safe, whether that preventing terrorists or preventing drug smugglers or whatever. So, you know, these are the sorts of borders which I think everyone can agree that are fair.
With an election year coming up, I don't know how much you've looked into current immigration proposals, but how do these reflect upon, again, your findings throughout the book? Are these progressing towards more fair policies, or are they kind of continuing with the established status quo?
Well, one trend which Francis Collins picks up on in his chapter for Fair Borders, he is researching the trend towards increased temporary migrant work. And so, you know, while resident visas have stayed quite stable over the years, temporary work visas have increased by about 600% over the last 10 years or so. So there's this concern that the nature of migration is changing, and that's something which is actually going to be really reinforced by the government's recent proposals around setting a line or a threshold, an income threshold, so that people who earn less than $49,000 a year can't stay here for more than 3 years without having to leave the country for a year, which is immensely disruptive for people's lives. It makes, you know, planning very difficult. So I would argue that this is really creating an unfair border between people who earn less than $49,000 and people who earn over $49,000. I think that is unfair on people who earn that lower income bracket. And I also think it's unfair on, you know, New Zealand citizens and residents who are also working in those jobs in that income bracket, because so if those occupations start to rely on this temporary work and these sort of precarious labour communities, then, you know, it's going to change the nature of those jobs. Those jobs are going to become stigmatised as temporary migrant jobs, and there's going to be this constant thoroughfare of people having to come and go. You know, relationships will be broken and sort of institutional knowledge will be disrupted. So I think this is going to be an interesting story if the government does go ahead with those changes, what effects that's going to have in New Zealand.
It would almost create a sort of transient, I guess, lower decile traveller class almost.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, the language that Francis Collins uses is, you know, the potential that we're aiming towards a guest worker program. You know, he's a real expert on this area, and, you know, one of the parallels he draws at the extreme end of this is Singapore, where there's an enormous class of people who exist within Singapore to work in the lower paid jobs, and they have far fewer rights, far fewer, you know, capacities to stay. And so there's this incredibly large, precarious workforce that exists in Singapore, which has all sorts of, you know, ramifications for the structure of society there.
For politicians who are currently writing out policy, what are the key considerations which you think they should include when thinking of creating fair immigration policies?
Yeah, I think the key thing really is getting away from the simplistic notion of migration as a sort of a cause and effect thing, because there's this notion, you hear it all the time in this language about turning off the tap or stopping the flood, this sort of notion of migration as a fluid which is just going to pour in and have these effects. But I think migration it doesn't cause social issues so much as interact with them. And you just have to be really careful and really sophisticated in the way you think about how these things are going to play out. You know, for instance, the Labour Party has proposed regulating the PTE industry, which I talked about earlier, and there's all sorts of good reasons for better regulating that area, as I alluded to. But the problem is that sometimes there's a assumption there that by reducing the immigration in that sector, that that'll somehow have a effect on Auckland housing and transport. But of course, the migrants coming in on the PTE scheme, by definition, are not well-heeled, not well-resourced people. They're certainly not going to be buying houses, very unlikely to be buying cars. They're much more likely to be, you know, renting and possibly living many, many people to a room and using public transport instead. So it's not obvious that you can address issues like transport and housing by way of fixing a visa, like fixing issues in a visa like that. So you just have to be really careful about those lines of cause and effect.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.